influence. As I was preparing to go over some of this material again, we see this over and over throughout the lessons that we've done. This idea of influence. And we know that that's where we started off our class because Solomon, he knew that he was not supposed to marry these foreign wives, but he did. And the whole problem is because of influence. And they did influence him. And then we see that that's where God is here in the divided kingdom. And we see all throughout here these influences. The influences, especially in the, let's say it backwards, no, Northern Kingdom. But we see where also they influenced some of the Southern Kingdom. And it was through wives, because they had married some of the ladies from the other kingdom. So we're going to see, again, this idea of influence. I just wanted to put that out there and hope that we really think about that. Think about those that we surround ourselves around and the impact that they can have on us. Even though the wisest man around didn't believe that, he knew better, but he fell into trap of that. So let's remember that. You know, the influences that we surround ourselves with, and that we can be an influence. And that make sure that we're being the influence of good. So just wanted to start off with that thought. Now in our last class, I will bring up real briefly, because in the last class when we were talking about Elijah versus Elijah, you know, because what we saw in 2 Chronicles 21:2, it uses the term Elijah, and I said that I would try to look more into that, and I'm still at the same answer. I'm a bar that I don't know bucket. I just wanted to, I didn't want y'all to think, well, he's trying to scoop by it. No, we don't know. We do know in Chronicles it says Elijah. So I believe it was a letter from Elijah. Was it passed on or how to get it? I don't know. but also remember that in 1 Kings, what was that, 19, verses 15, 16, and I think 17. We also saw that that was when the Lord told Elijah, hey, you still have stuff to do and go. And this is some things that are going to take place. Now, Elisha has already come into the picture. And we're also about to see some of these things that was concerning Jehu. So some of the other things are starting to unfold in the class that we should be able to cover today. So I just wanted to mention that. I don't know. So I just, because there's not a lot of information there to do much more than that, would there'd be a lot of speculation. So I'm just going to, that's going to be my answer, is I don't know, and leave it at that. So you have to do your own study and see what you come up with. But in our last class, we left off. We were talking about Ahaziah, and it was around 841 B.C. When he became the king of Judah. And we're going to see that he's going to reign for 1 year. And we also saw, speaking of influence, that his mother's name was Athaliah. And we saw in 2 Kings that it states that she's the granddaughter of Omri, which was the king of Israel. And 2 Chronicles states that she was the daughter of King Ahab. And so possibly Jezebel. as well. We see in these chapters that Ahaziah walked in the ways of Ahab, like his father did. Ahaziah, okay, because Ahab is, or was, the king of the northern kingdom, or Israel. Ahaziah is king of Judah, in which Jehoram, his dad, was as well. But it says, you know, that they walked in the way of Ahab. And again, that's this idea of because of the influence that they had. If you look over at Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 22, we're just going to look at that idea in a couple of verses. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 3. It says, he also walked, and this is Ahaziah, he also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother, that's Athaliah, was his counselor to do wickedly. So, this influence. Verse 4, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. 4, they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. So again, we see that they are his counselors. They were his influence. And it also notes that it was to his destruction. In the beginning of 5, just in case you weren't listening, it says he also walked according to their counsel. So, I don't know about you, but I think this is trying to get our attention. It states it 3 times. So, this influence. And he walked according to their counsel. And it was not a good influence. It was, as stated in verse 4, to his destruction. So, they had influence on him. So I'll read the whole verse. He also walked according to their counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to wage war against Hazael, king of Aram, at Ramoth Gilead. But the Arameans wounded Joram. I have to look because sometimes it's Joram, Jehoram. So the Arameans wounded Joram. So he returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which they had inflicted on him at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Aram. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel, because he was sick. Now, back in 2 Kings, we're going to look back at 2 Kings. We're going to see some of the things that are they're taking place. If you look at 2 Kings 9. 2 Kings 9. And actually, if you look at the last verse in chapter 8, it's verse 29. It's basically the same thing that we read in 2 Chronicles. That's one of those verses that are about the same or very, very similar. So then it picks up in chapter 9, and we see some of the things that are starting to take place. Now, I put a question on the lesson. It says that Elisha instructs one of the sons of the prophets to go to Jehu. What is he instructed to do when he gets there? What's this son of the prophet supposed to do? Okay. So he's going to anoint him king. Okay. We'll get, yes, ma'am. We will see that a little further along. He is going to fix that too. In let's start in verse 1 of chapter 9. It says, now Elijah the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to them, or him, gird up yourselves and take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. When you arrive there, search out Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and bid him arise from among his brothers and bring him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and do not wait. So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. When he came, behold, the captains of the army were sitting, and he said, I have a word for you, O captain. Jehu said, for which one of us? And he said, for you, O captain. He arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. So he anoints Jehu as king, as he was instructed to do so. And then 7 says, and you will strike the house of Ahab your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servant the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. So the Lord is going to use him. This is the Lord's going to get his vengeance. 4, the whole house of Ahab, like Miss Linda was saying, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish. And I will cut off from Ahab every male person, both bond and free, in Israel. So, like we've seen before, the Lord's going to end a dynasty. And he's going to end Ahab's dynasty. He says that I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha. So these are ones that he's already ended those dynasties. And note verse 10. Remember Jezebel's part in all of this. And she's going to get hers. We'll see that here in a moment as well. And it says, and the dog shall eat Jezebel in the territory of Jezreel, and none shall bury her. Then he opened the door and fled. So Jehu gets instructions. So Jehu gets his instructions. And it says that he came out of the servants of his master. And one said to him, is all well? Why did this mad fellow come to you? And let's note what it says here. Because he asked, is all well? And he said, why did this mad guy come to you? And he says, you know very well the man and his talk. They said, it is a lie. Tell us. It is a lie. Tell us now. And he said, thus and thus. And he said to me, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. And then they hurried, and each man took his garment, placed it under him on the bare steps. I'm going to stop there for a second. So he tells them, one of the guys first says, you know, What did this guy want? This mad fellow. And then he says, you know who he is. And then he said that, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king. So do these guys believe that? The end of verse 13, it says that they blew the trumpet saying, Jehu is king. So now he is king. And it said that Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram, with all Israel, was defending Ramoth-Gilead against Hazael, king of Aram. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to be healed of the wounds which the Arameans had inflicted on him when he fought against Hazael, king of Aram. So Jehu said, "If this is your mind, then let no one escape or leave the city to go tell it in Jezreel. So he's saying, if this is what you want, if this is your mind, then don't let anyone escape. Then Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram was lying there. Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. And now we're going to see this part of the story, what's about to take place. So Jehu's heading there. And verse 17 tells us about this watchman. It says, now this is at Jezreel. It said, now the watchman was standing on the tower in Jezreel. And he saw the company of Jehu as he came and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take a horseman and send him to meet them and let him say, is it peace? So basically, they see this company coming up. The watchman sees it and he wants to know what his instructions are. It's like, go down there and see if this is something of peace or something else. So he says, is it peace? So the horseman went to meet him and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu's response was, what have you to do with peace? Turn behind me. And the watchman reported the messenger came to them, but he did not return. Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And again, Jehu answered, what have you to do with peace? Turn behind me. And again, the watchman reported that he even came to them, but he did not return. And he also reported that the driving is like Jehu, the son of Nimshi, because he drives furiously. Evidently, there is a way that he was able to identify. He said, I've seen this. And so evidently, a way that Jehu brings these in, he drives furiously. So the watchman reports that they send these messengers and none of them return. And Jehu was saying, hey, what do you know about peace? Get behind me. So then Joram, the king, says, get ready. And they made his chariot ready. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out to meet Jehu. On the lesson, I put a question on there. It says, where do Joram, the king of Israel, and Ahaziah, the king of Judah, find Jehu? Where do they find him at when they go out to meet with him? Okay. So Naboth's vineyard, or the property of Naboth, the Jezreelite. That's interesting. Remember, like we stated before in 1 Kings, when some of these things were going on, these things were going to take place because how Ahab had dealt with others, Naboth, and how Jezebel, her influence, and how she acted. Because remember her part in this, and how they lied, and basically Naboth was murdered over his land. And so when Joram asked Jehu if he comes in peace, how does Jehu reply to him about this? Okay. So he says, what peace? So long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many. That was verse 22. So we saw the examples both of his parents where when it came to idolatries. But in this verse, it points out his mother's influence and her harlotries. Remember her wickedness and remember what she had also done against the prophets. And she was a very wicked woman. And 9:7 in 2 Kings states that the house of Ahab, then in its end of the verse, because it's talking about the house of Ahab, it starts talking about her part or her influence. And so just remember some of these things that we've stated and seen in the past, and these things about King Ahab. Remember, he was the worst king. King Ahab was, and it said that he did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So that was stated in some of our last classes. And it's also about to say some more about Jezebel's involvement in these things. In 2 Kings 9, verse 23, it says, so Joram reigned about and fled and said to Ahaziah, there's treachery, O Ahaziah. And Jehu drew his bow with his full strength and shot Joram between his arms. And the arrow went through his heart and sank into his chariot. So let's notice some of the things that are taking place here. Where is Joram's body to be taken? Where are they going to take his body? Yeah, back to Naboth's property. So again, we see how this part of it is linked to what was done there. In 25, it says, then Jehu said to Bidkar, his officer, take him up, cast him out into the property of the field of Naboth, the Jezreelite. For I remember... Let's remember a little earlier back, Jehu, he states, we know who this is. And now he's stating something that he remembers. For I remember when you and I were riding together after Ahab, his father, that the Lord said this oracle against him. So he remembers what the Lord had said about him. And we're going to see here why the Lord is doing this. In verse 26, it says, "Surely I have seen yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says the Lord. And I will repay you in this property, says the Lord. Now then, take and cast him into the property according to the word of the Lord." So as we've seen over and over, things that are taking place are because of and according to the word of the Lord. We see things coming about that were stated earlier on that he said will come about. And then now you see it happening and taking place. When Ahaziah, the king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house. And Jehu pursued him and said, "Shoot him too, in the chariot." So they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is at Abilene. But he fled to Megiddo and died there. Then his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his grave with his fathers in the city of David. So we see that Ahaziah was shot as well. So both Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, were killed on the same day. Both of these died in 841 B.C. Let's turn over to Chronicles for a minute. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And these people, being the people of God, they should have realized that. They had a whole history of this.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's like Linda said, you know, God said that these things were going to take place. They might not have been instantaneously. Sometimes he has compassion on what the king does. He says, "I'm not going to do this in your lifetime. I'm going to bring this upon your sons." And we've seen that in different times. But we can be sure that it's going to come about. And then we see things as we go further. We see it playing out. So, you know, and like Linda said also, these people with their history, they know. You know, they know who God is. But they weren't acting like they knew who he was. And they weren't treating him like they should. Yes, sir, Josh?
That's the thing that is mentioned by the minor prophets quite often. The problems the kings, these evil kings, were busy doing were many. Idolatry, ignoring God's edicts on how he's to be worshipped. But also just social problems, corrupting the courts accepting bribes, kings confiscating lands, neglecting the poor, And in this case, this confiscation of the land from Naboth and then this murder, that bill fits the bill of how corrupt those countries had gotten, those kings had gotten, and how it had influenced the people. And this is just one where, just like Ms. Linda said, God is demonstrating this matters a lot to him.
Yes.
To the point where he gives Jehu to fire an arrow through the heart or through the chest of one of the kings, and then the other king killed the same day. Yes. God has no place for any of those corruptions or abuses of power or ignoring his commands.
Right. And because that brings up a good point, Josh, doesn't it? Because like you said, because of the corruption and the other things they did, well, what causes that? It's because they're not following the Word of God or the commandment of God. When we go away from that, it opens the door for everything. If we're not following God's will on things, He's all-knowing. He knows what's best. He's proven that He's trustworthy. I mean, think of us and what we know and having the Word of God. He's proven that He's trustworthy. We see these examples. Like Josh said, they're just doing these evils. It's because they've turned themselves away from the Word of God. The Word of God is what tells us what is right, what we should do, how we treat others. And because like this with Naboth, and it's selfishness. Had no concern for his neighbor. It was all about him, and we see those kinds of things. So when we turn from the Word of God and letting that rule our actions and our what we do and how we do things, then anything's open, really. I mean, because what's guiding you? What says what is right and wrong? In these cases, made up God. No, idolatries. So, good point. Josh, any other thoughts or comments? Or yes, sir, Keith. Harlotries, yes. And just on that, something I think of too, when you talk about this idea, yes, it did say, God said these things were going to come about. But let's not misunderstand to think that God was making it happen this way. God knows beforehand how people are going to handle things. It's hard for us to imagine his ability to know and to understand all that, because we don't have that capacity. Think of it in this way, because you think of some of the earlier kings in the Northern Kingdom. He says, "If you do this, if you obey my commandments, then I'm going to make you a great dynasty like David." He states that, and it's true, but he already knows that this guy's not going to do that. And because it also keeps stating that he's going to keep a lamp of David. We know that it's still going to end up being through the line of David. It's going to be David's dynasty. But that's not saying that there was not this opportunity, but he knew how these people would do things. We know that God has used others in the past, evil people. He knows how they will act and react to things, and he can use that. But keep in mind, it's still, everyone has free moral agency. This is something they chose. You know, it doesn't show that God made them do this. This is just an account showing this is what's happening. This is what's going to take place. You know, God's saying, I know this is what's going to take place. And then as things carry out and go through, that's what takes place. So we serve a God that is all-knowing. And that's just another point. I'm not going to go much into that, but since that was brought up and I'm thinking of this idea of influence, you know, that was just kind of on my mind when I was looking at some of this stuff. So God is going to use people. And it's people's choice how they do things. So personally, talking to self, and y'all talk to self. So what kind of influence are you going to be? What kind of tool are you going to allow God to use you as? Are you going to be something good? Or is it something evil? That's something that that's our choice. God lines out what we should do, gives us guidance, but when it comes down to it, it's up to us. It's our choice to either serving or not serving. So that's just something I wanted to point out there. How are we doing on time? Okay, got about 4 minutes. Are there any other comments or thoughts on this? Okay. Let's see, where were we going? We were going to 2 Chronicles. Okay. Now in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, let's look at verses 7. Well, let's start with verse 7. Okay, so we saw that Joram was killed. But then we also see that Ahaziah, the king of Judah, was killed as well. But 2 Chronicles 22 gives us a little insight. It says in verse 7, now the destruction of Ahaziah was from God. In that, he went to Joram. For when he came, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. He was involved in something that God was already using Jehu to accomplish. And so it says that this was from God. And it came about when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers ministering to Ahaziah and slew them. I just want to read this for some more information when we get into some further chapters. He also sought Ahaziah, and they caught him while he was hiding in Samaria. They brought him to Jehu, put him to death, and buried him. For they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So there is no one of the house of Ahaziah to retain the power of the kingdom. So we're going to see here, there's no one left to retain that power. And that's going to be something that's going to be helpful to us when we get into some of the further chapters. Because some of the things that start to take place. And regarding his mother. So let's keep that in the back of our mind. So back to Kings. 2 Kings 9. Now we see that Jehu is in Jezreel. And we're going to see that he's going to deal with Jezebel. But we're also going to see that the buzzer's about to ring here in a second. So, what we'll do is we'll pick up here in our next class. If you haven't picked up lesson 6, it's in the back. So please pick that up. Appreciate all your comments and thoughts.